The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
It's Arthur Idala on AM 970, The Answer.
This is the Arthur Idala Power Hour with quintessential New Yorker, attorney Arthur Idala, New York's go-to lawyer. He's here to share his stories from in the courtroom and around the city with interviews from high-profile guests and everyday folks calling in to talk about everything from politics, lifestyle, health and wellness, and more. And now your host, making the case for the city he loves, attorney Arthur Idala.
6:02 on a Wednesday night. I'm just a little thrown off because I just opened up the newspaper or the app and former Senator Joe Lieberman died. Oh, man. I had a tremendous amount of respect for him, but I feel like I just spoke to him because I believe it was this past Friday, less than a week ago, he was on Frank Morano's show, The Other Side of Midnight, talking about basically non-party elections. And, of course, it's slipping my mind what he called it, but I should know that. Yes, thank you. Wow, look at Alex. Check out the big brain on Alex. Thank you, Alex. Boy, oh boy, who needs Sambolino? Well, I do. But, he was a great American, Joe Lieberman. Common sense kind of guy, 82 years old. I mean, obviously this was sudden because I spoke. That's the beauty of radio. Like, I feel like I spoke to him Friday, but I didn't speak to him. I was driving very late out to Long Island after Jerry Foley's memorial, and I put on Frank's show at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I think it was Friday, or sometimes I listen to Frank's old shows, and I heard him, and I felt like I spoke to him just the other night. Well, he was the vice president for Al Gore in the obviously Bush v. Gore election, so that was That's a loss for America because he was a great American. Speaking of great Americans, I got to spend some time with a couple of great Americans. Last night, I got to have dinner with Chief of Patrol of the NYPD, John Chell. He was pretty wiped out. Obviously, he was dealing with the loss of police officer Diller. I'm sure he's going to be promoted if he hasn't already today to detective. That's standard operating procedure. He told me the video is horrible. The video was released today. I looked at it. I don't know if you have to go look at it. Your imagination of how horrible it was and probably is satisfactory hearing this poor young guy's yelps and screams of pain. I mean, the one thing I remember when I was in the DA's office, I think it was like my first or second case. I was second seating Emilio Grillo. And it was a guy who got shot in the stomach. And our expert, who was this like fantastic doctor from Bellevue, he was like graduated from Annapolis. He was like a really star doctor. He said he talked about the pain of belly wounds and that this particular complainant who didn't die. It was an attempted murder case. Emilio and I were trying. Well, I should say Emilio was trying. I was just kind of holding his bag. I was a lawyer for about 15 minutes. He said that it was the worst injury of a guy who actually survived. And he said gunshot wounds to the abdomen are definitely the most painful. And this poor police officer, he was a mess for obvious reasons, and he was rushed to the hospital. Apparently, they did bring him back to life, and then they lost him, and he came back again, and they lost him. And ultimately, it's a horror show. On a little more positive note, so, I mean, I put John Chell in the category of great Americans, being the chief of patrol of the NYPD. I got to have lunch at the Police Athletic League with John Katsimatidis, who you just heard, and Rita Cosby, who you just heard, with about 200 other people in the New York Athletic Club. And, you know, I go to those lunches often. And the keynote guest was Mariano Rivera. And Mariano Rivera is my all-time favorite Yankee. There's memorabilia of his in Luca's room, all over my house out in Long Island. This is probably the fifth time that I met him, but listen to how crazy this is. He's so gracious, and he almost every time I've met him, he's been with his wife. He's been married for 32 years, and she's by his side all the time, typically carrying a Bible. I didn't notice if she was carrying one today, but I know he's very religious. There was one time where I was at an event, and I was going to be seated at his table. And I don't know if they said we couldn't have alcohol, but they made it clear that he doesn't have any alcohol. And they specifically asked us not to use any foul language, which is interesting for a Major League Baseball player, because you would think he's surrounded by people who use foul language. And maybe he is, but at that particular event, there was no harsh language being used. But he was such a fun guy, and I went over to him. He was taking pictures with a bunch of people, and I have a special section in my phone that says, under the photos, that says special photos. And actually, the first one is a picture from, I don't know, more than a decade ago, when I ran into Brooke Shields, who I had a crush on, you know, in the 80s. And I have all kinds of pictures from, like, with Ben Carson and Tiki Barber and all kinds of stuff like that. I went and I found very easily a picture of Mariano and I at the very first Rafael Ramos Foundation event, the gala. And the funny part was, and it really cracked him up, I showed him the picture and I go, all right, Mariano, who got older? Because I think that was 2015 or 2016. I said, all right, Mariano, who got older, me or you? And as we're looking at the picture, we realize I'm basically wearing the same exact suit, shirt, and tie then as I was today, which was a windowpane gray suit, white windowpane with a light purple shirt with a purple tie. And he laughed. And he said, before I could say, he goes, wow, we got to take another picture. You know what that's like for Mariano Rivera, the greatest baseball closer, the greatest pitcher, and really amongst the greatest players ever. And I don't say that lightly, like amongst the greatest people to ever play that sport ever. And that sport's been going on for over 100 years. That's saying a lot, thousands and thousands of players. But here's, so we took the picture, and it was usually at the PAL, whoever's speaking, and it's often a politician, they just give a speech. But this was a Q&A, and hats off to Mark Simone, the legendary radio personality, and John Katsimatidis. The two of them were on the stage with Mariano, and it was a Q&A. And Mariano is very good, very good. You know, he's got a little bit of an accent, well, he's from Panama. But they got into a lot of his post Yankee career stuff and what he's doing and the charities he works for and how he's trying to build schools in Panama and et cetera. And then they open it up for questions. And this was so special for me. And Alex, you would probably appreciate this.
I'm all ears.
Because people think, or it even for me feels like I'm a little nuts when I talk about my favorite World Series of the Yankees. I was very lucky. And I have to give my friend Paul D'Amelia a lot of credit because from 1996, when they started that run, all the way through 2009, D'Amelia is the one who kind of got me into going to all these games. I went to more playoff games than I could count, and World Series games and whatever. And I got it. And Paul and his nephew Lino works here now. But it sounds nuts when I say my favorite World Series was 2001 because they lost. So they say, "Is there any questions?" And I spring up, I jump up, and I'm all the way in the back of the room, and I raise my hand, and Mark Simone goes, yes, go ahead, Arthur. I said, Mariano, I said, my father was born in the Bronx. I said, so I came out of the womb a Yankee fan. I said, I've been with you guys the whole ride. I said, I know this might sound odd. I said, but my favorite World Series was 2001, even though you didn't get the result that you wanted. I said, this city was so low, and you guys lifted us up from the doldrums and the shock and the tragedy, the worst that New York City has ever experience from the flip by Jeter, which was against Oakland when they were down 2-0. We thought, okay, the Yanks are going to get swept, and they came back and won the initial series all the way through to the Diamondbacks. And in that game, and I said, so Mariano, I said, I read your book. I read your articles. I said, I know that you talked about the, you know, that particular game that, you know, you learn when you lose, not when you win, and the lessons that you learned. I said, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, you saved someone you know's life by losing that game. And right away he goes, it's a great question. And again, he's talking to me now, looking right at me. I'm all the way in the back of the room, and so over like 200 people. And he says, believe it or not, and this is shocking. I can't wait to tell Paul, D'Amelia, and Dave, Mr. Bitter, this. He goes, believe it or not, the 2001 World Series was my favorite also. Now, folks, just so you understand, he then goes, I wish I was videoing this. He then goes on to say that when he came in the eighth inning, which I hated when Joe Torre would do that. You know, he was the closer. He came in the eighth inning, and I think he struck out the one or two guys he faced. And he said today, he goes, when I got into the dugout, I said, there's no way we are losing. Like, I got these guys down. It was an away game. We were all in my apartment in 112 85th Street watching. I had Uncle Mario on the phone with me. And I said, Mario, what do you think? He goes, Mariano's coming in the ninth inning to strike out three guys. Like, we got this in the bag. Well, so Mariano says he went out. He goes, they're never going to come back. And the Arizona Diamondbacks came back on a little blooper hit off, because it was a home game, so it was the bottom of the ninth, on a little hit, a little blooper over second base that dropped in front of the center fielder, and they scored, and they won the World Series, and the Yankees lost. And Mariano's talking about this. He goes, look, letting you guys down, meaning the fans, was the worst, and it broke my heart. And he said, but, and then he told this story, so I wasn't wrong. Enrique Wilson, who was the backup second baseman and shortstop, he had a plane ticket to go back home, I think it was the Dominican Republic, 3 days after Game 7, because had they won, they would have had the Yankee parade, and then after the parade, he was going to fly back home to the DR. I'm pretty sure it was the DR. But because they lost, he booked his plane ticket a day earlier, and he left a day earlier. That plane the next day crashed, and everybody died. And his teammate, his friend, Enrique Wilson, would have died. And definitely, everybody died. And Mariano was a very spiritual man, said he then understood why God, the Lord, actually what he said, why the Lord decided that he should use that game. But he said, despite the fact that we lost, he said, the fact that I knew we lifted up the spirits of all of New York made that loss so special to me. And then he looks at me, he goes, that's a great question. Thank you for asking it. Guys, I have to tell you, that like made my, it was very, very special. If Jerry Foley was around, he would be jumping all over me because he was a diehard Yankee fan. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back with Judge Kamins. But one last thing, I went and just did a little pre-tape, which you guys are going to hear with in the auto show. And who do we walk into? Is Michael Strahan. So I got to hang out with dinner with Chief of Patrol Chell, lunch with Mariano Rivera, and I got to see Strahan real quick as he was walking out. But I said, Michael, our prayers and thoughts are with your daughter who's suffering from brain cancer. He looked at me, hey, thank you so much, man. That means a lot. And I just said, you know, I'm Lawrence's friend, Lawrence Taylor's friend. And he goes, I know. And he just kept walking. But, you know, it's a little New York stuff. The Chief of Patrol, Mariano Rivera, Michael Strahan. I'm going to come back with Judge Kamins. We're going to talk about guns and the gun laws and federal law versus state law and probable cause and when can cops stop you and when they can't. And then I'll tell you what we did the rest of the day and what these days coming up. It's Holy Week. I've been wearing purple nonstop because of Holy Week. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to read some commercials. And I got Sambolino here in the office, and Alex is back in the studio. This song that's playing, Enter Sandman, is the song that was playing every time Mariano Rivera came into pitch. All right, we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Joe Piscopo. I'd like to introduce you to the premier business in the investigative and security field in the United States today, Brosnan Risk Consultants, founded by my friend Pat Brosnan, decorated retired NYPD detective. You must be diligent in protecting the business you work so hard to grow, family you cherish, and the lifestyle you've achieved. Luckily, there is Brosnan Risk Consultants to keep your business healthy, keep your family safe, and identify the approaching rising tide of danger and loss well before it destroys what you have built. Brosnan Risk Consultants have been protecting clients for over 25 years, operational in 45 states and over 500 cities. Don't settle for second best. Brosnan is the gold standard in investigative and security services. Call now 800-590-2180 or go online to brosnanrisk.com. B-R-O-S-N-A-N risk.com.
All right, let's talk about Bay Ridge Honda, run by my friend Rob Sabah. Rob Sabah has been at Bay Ridge Honda basically since he's been in the womb because his dad was there, has been there forever. 60 years Bay Ridge Honda has been serving all five boroughs. They are an institution in the city of New York. Today, when I snuck into the auto show for Media Day and I met one of the big shots over at Honda, I regaled him with the story how in 1980 I walked into that Honda dealership. It was three generations, me, my dad, and my granddad, picked up a Honda Accord. I think it was the second generation ever of the Honda Accord, if not the first. And it was in the family for 25 years. Then I went over to a Honda Odyssey. I'm like, oh, yeah. And I told this whole story. I'll tell him another time. And that's kind of how my sister told me she was with child, which was very cool. Right now at Bay Ridge Honda, to kick off spring, Bay Ridge Honda is offering $0 deals all month long. That's right, zero down deals. On top of that, they have APR rates as low as 1.9% and no payments until summer of 2024. 90 days of no payments. They have the best prices around and will offer you top dollar for your trade-in. You name it, they have it. Brand new Hondas, like the all-new Honda Civic, Honda HR-V, their best-selling CR-V, their Honda Accord, and the Honda Passport. They have them all ready for you to drive home today. Serving all five boroughs of New York, that's Bay Ridge Honda, and every new vehicle comes with their Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your service maintenance need. Visit Bay Ridge Honda, 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Brooklyn, New York, or at BayRidgeHonda.com.
The madness is here, and at Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey, that means slam dunk savings all month long. Our buddy Alex Kinsella, he's the general manager at Route 22 Toyota, called to fill us in on all the madness going on, like zero down leases on all your favorite Toyota models, and low 2.99% APR financing for up to 72 months. Plus, at Route 22 Toyota, everyone drives, thanks to their goal of 100% credit approval. Call them at 973-705-8905. To get pre-approved today. Again, that's 973-705-8905 to get pre-approved for a loan on a brand new Toyota from Route 22 Toyota. It's all part of their slam dunk savings going on right now, where you can save with the madness of zero down leases and low 2.99% APR financing for up to 72 months. Go see Alex and his team at Route 22 Toyota in Hillside, New Jersey, and remember to tell them Joe Piscopo sent you.
Subject to primary lender approval, not all buyers will qualify. Financing on select new Toyota models through Toyota Financial Services. See deal for details. April 1st, 2024.
We all know that planning for your future is important. Are you and your family protected? If you're not around to make decisions, who will? Are your assets protected from probate and nursing home costs? The time to plan is now. Wills, trusts, power of attorneys, healthcare proxies, living wills, your overall estate plan. How are you going to figure all of this stuff out? Well, you're going to start by attending a Connors and Sullivan free seminar and have all of your questions answered by Mike Connors himself. Wednesday, April the 24th at Conley's Corner, Grand Avenue in Mass Path, Queens at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Thursday, April 25th at Don Roberto's, Forest Avenue, Staten Island at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Friday, April the 26th at the Adria Hotel, Northern Boulevard, Bayside, Queens at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. Monday, April 29th at the Greenhouse Cafe in 3rd Avenue in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. And Tuesday, April the 30th at Buckley's Restaurant in Sheepshead Bay, Brooklyn at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. If you can't make any of these free seminars with Mike Connors, call Connors and Sullivan at 718-238-6500, 718-238-6500, and you'll have your own free office appointment. As Mike Connors always says, the biggest mistake when it comes to estate planning is not planning at all.
Listen to AM 970 The Answer on Alexa, TuneIn, iHeart, or Odyssey.com.
A Little Invisible Touch by Genesis. You know, Genesis was around for a very long time, going into the deep into the 70s. I think, Alex, this may be, if not their best-selling song, single, it's right up there, which is a little surprising to me, but it's a big hit for Genesis.
Oh, absolutely. I know one of yours is Throw It All Away. Maybe we'll play that this week also. You know, I heard a little birdie told me that's one of your favorite songs. So
Yeah, I got a lot of good Genesis songs. You know, I saw a photo recently of Phil Collins, who was an original member of Genesis. And when Peter Gabriel was the singer, then Peter Gabriel left, and they interviewed all these other singers, only to have Phil Collins, their drummer, step up to be the eventual voice of Genesis. Phil Collins does not look good. He does not look good. I think he's got some kind of like rheumatoid arthritis or something like that. I believe his son may be stepping in to fill his shoes. But someone whose shoes cannot be filled, not because they're so big or anything like that. I was in court today in Brooklyn, New York, on an attempted murder case. It's a pretty big case, and in front of a very prestigious judge. And it's amazing because walking through the halls with my partner, Judge Barry Cammons, it's like walking through, Nashville with Elvis. Everyone's like, oh, Judge Cammons. Oh, hello, Judge Cammons. Judge Cammons. Judge Cammons. Judge Cammons. The court officers, the clerks. I mean, it was... I'm like, okay, I know who I'm coming to court with. Well, I have this, like, very healthy ego. Boy, did they put that in place. I mean, how do you feel about that, Judge Cammons? The warm reception you get when you're strolling the halls of 320 Adams Street.
Well, it was gratifying, but I think let's not talk about me. Let's talk about you.
No, let's talk about you.
I just want to say I was at that luncheon with you, and I really think that Mariano Rivera was very impressed with that question that you asked. I think he was... It made him think, and I think that he was very glad you asked that.
I got to tell you, Barry, because it sounds weird. You know, they won in 96, 98, 99, 2000. It's very, and I was at so many of those games, more than I could count, than I could ever count, because I just forgot how many I was at, and the parades and everything. But to say my favorite World Series was the 2001 that they lost.
Yes.
It sounds crazy.
But it was a more meaningful series for the reasons that you mentioned, told your listeners.
But the fact that he agreed.
Yes.
The fact that,
yes,
I mean, yeah. He said that was my favorite. I was blown away. I was upset. I didn't have the video camera on to, like, capture this because it was really, it was very significant and gratifying for me to hear. And, I mean, I know you follow baseball enough. I mean, he is to his sport what Lawrence Taylor is to his sport. I mean,
and what you are to law.
No. They are literally,
I know.
He set the record. He's the only baseball player to go into the Hall of Fame.
Not even Babe Ruth was unanimous.
Unanimous. So it was cool. It was a great event, correct? No, wasn't it? Wonderful?
Absolutely. I'm glad I went.
So there's some stuff going on in the
yes.
law and right in your ballywick. Let me just make him blush once again, Judge Cammons. Yesterday, I had to go to court in the Bronx. Not exactly a place I go to on a regular basis. So I'm trying to, like, schmooze my way around. And so the judge, very nicely, a woman judge, she said, before the case was officially called, calls us up and says, well, you know, what are we here for and what are we doing? It all went very smoothly. And at the end, I said, thank you, judge, for, you know, doing this beforehand so I know what we're doing. I said, I'm not really in the Bronx that much. I said, by the way, any chance you know my partner, Judge Barry Cammons? She puts her hand on her heart. She's like, I love him. She's like, when I was a supervisor in Brooklyn, and he was, she was in legal aid, I believe, and then she was a lawyer, and he was great, and then she became a judge, and she's like, he wrote the book. He wrote the book. I was like, yes. Was it Hansel and Gretel? Yes, he did write the book. So we're talking about a topic that Judge Cammons did write the book on, which is search and seizure. Judge Cammons, take it away.
So I think your listeners will be interested to hear that things are really changing in the area of gun arrests. One would think that if an officer is seen on the street in possession of a gun, it's sort of textbook law that the officer can make an arrest for possession of a gun. That's because the officer has what we call probable cause. Well, a federal judge in the Eastern District of New York has sort of rocked the world of search and seizure by writing this decision, which will probably, in my opinion, work its way up to the United States Supreme Court. This judge feels that because of a case called Bruin, and I'll discuss that in a second, because of Bruin, there is no longer an assumption that when an officer sees someone in possession of a gun, there is probable cause to make the arrest. Now, I'm sure many of your listeners are well aware of the Bruin case because you've had people discuss that on your program. Bruin was the case in which the Supreme Court said that states shall issue gun licenses, carry permits, if individuals meet requirements such as taking training courses, and a few other things, some character letters, and as long as they're not felons. Felons are not able to possess weapons. But they shall issue those carry permits. So this judge wrote a decision which is...
Let me just back up. So right now in New York City, hypothetically, if I wanted to, as far as I know, I'm not a convicted felon, I could go to the NYPD, One Police Plaza, fill out an application. I guess they do some kind of a background search, I would hope.
They do, but actually they even check your social media. You have to give them access to your social media, which is that's being challenged under a First Amendment issue. But as long as you get some character letters, you take training to use the gun, which makes sense, and some other courses, you will get a carry permit.
Okay. I wasn't sure. Look, just so people understand, federal law and state law, there's a little complication, right? So everyone thought Roe v. Wade was overturned. Some people thought, oh, that meant abortion throughout the land was not allowed to take place. All it meant was every state didn't have to allow abortion. It was going to be a discretion of the states. But this Bruin decision regarding guns, that means that New York State cannot prevent a citizen in good standing from possessing a weapon.
Correct. What they can do and what they have done is create some laws that say once you do get the permit, you're not permitted to take that gun into certain locations, such as the trains and the protests and other what they call sensitive locations.
I was told yesterday by a former client she's still a current client, that a sensitive location is apparently any location that serves alcohol.
Yes.
I did not know that. So if you have one of these carry permits, you're in New York, they have severely restricted where you're allowed to carry.
Right. So you're obligated to know what those sensitive locations are. And if you bring the gun, even with a permit, into those locations, you can be arrested for an e-felony punishable by up to 4 years. In any event, getting back to this decision, the judge now has written the decision, which is being challenged by the government, and they're asking for reconsideration. The judge made this analysis.
He's a federal judge.
Yes, federal judge. He made the analysis that if an officer sees an individual with a gun, that officer does not know whether that person has a license or not, because now everyone is eligible for a license, so it is very possible that that person does have a license. So rather than arrest the individual, the officer is only permitted to seize the individual, hold him, and then they have to contact the licensing bureau to see whether there is a license for that gun or not. Therefore, the officers did not do that. They arrested the individual without checking, and the judge suppressed the gun, which the government is strenuously and vociferously arguing was wrong, and they've asked for reconsideration.
Let's just talk, Judge Kamens, first of all, about what actually happened and then what this federal judge is saying should have happened.
Well, what happened was the judge suppressed the gun because the officer had not first checked about the license.
So what is a police officer supposed to do? So a police officer is outside our office. He sees a guy just dangling a gun from his hand, not shooting, pointing at anyone. It's just in clear view.
Before Bruin, it was clear, even this judge agrees, that the officer could make an arrest, seize the gun, take the person into custody and bring him to court. Now the judge is saying you cannot do that. Now, I personally don't agree with that decision, but of course, you know, that's the judge's ruling, and that'll be decided on appeal or the Second Circuit or the U.S. Supreme Court. But now, according to that judge, the officer cannot seize the individual and make the arrest. He's got to go through some administrative checking with the licensing bureau to see if he has a gun. Now, what if you can't get a hold of the licensing bureau?
My guess is, in short order, if it doesn't already exist, you know, police officers now are all issued phones, smartphones.
Right. And they have databases.
So my guess is, in short order, Guy's going to walk, a police officer walk up to someone and say, I notice you have a handgun on you. Yes. And, you know, can I see it? Can I have it? So I should keep him safe or her safe. And just say, I need to see some identification. Then plug it into his or her phone. And if it comes up clean, he gives it back and says, you know, please be careful. And if it doesn't, he says, put your hands behind your back.
Now, the government's argument is a very compelling one. The government said, well, look, if the judge was right, that means that the number of people who applied for licenses and got licenses after Bruin increased tremendously. But it turns out there are only about 400 or 500 more licenses that were granted after Bruin, so that most people walking around still do not have licenses. Statistically, out of 8 million people in the city, maybe 7,000 have licenses.
Oh, is it that low?
Yeah.
So just honestly, without tell people why you know so much about search and seizure.
Because I speak to you.
Now, go ahead. Don't be a wise guy.
No, I wrote this book when I was a younger lawyer back. Actually, it's 32 years I've been writing this book. And I said, really, judges, lawyers, and prosecutors should have a reference book because there's so many decisions. Every day there's a new decision. And over the years, I think in my book now there are 10,000 cases. I can't believe I read them all, but.
Talk to us a little bit about the Bruin decision and what, you know, because it changed the law, it changed American law, and what the background of Bruin is to some.
Well, the background was that the judges said that under the Second Amendment, this is.
Do you remember which judge it was?
I'm trying to recall.
Was it my friend?
Judge Scalia, I believe.
Yes,
the fellow that loved you so much. he felt that that the founders of our country and those who wrote the Constitution felt that this was a right to bear arms, and every individual had the right to carry a weapon, and this has been the right over the last 260 or so years, and that states do not have the right to prohibit individuals, with a few exceptions, from possessing those weapons and bearing arms. And that's why every state now, and that's why the case I'm mentioning is going to be so important, because every state will have this issue come before them. Does the licensing issue affect probable cause? And we'll see whether it does. But I personally do not think it will be a factor. But, you know, I've been wrong before.
Okay, so I'm going to correct myself. Bruin was actually...
No, it wasn't Scalia.
It was Alito.
Alito.
Quoting Heller.
Yes, yes.
Relying on Heller, who was Scalia. And Scalia, I believe, said in one of his speeches that Heller was one of the best decisions or whatever he ever came to and rationalized.
Yeah.
So this is a big deal for... Chuck just said, concealed carry, if the weapon is exposed, the police have every right to investigate. Hence, concealed carry should never be unconcealed. So, oh, that's interesting. So if you have the thing is, Chuck, I think if a cop sees a bulge, right, even if they don't see the actual weapon.
Right.
I mean, I remember the DA's office.
Well, there's still
we saw a bulge.
Still a right to stop and frisk. There's still a right to stop and frisk. But the arrest itself, according to this judge, cannot be completed unless the licensing issue is taken care of.
So what the judge in the Eastern District has ruled is that the police officer can stop you, talk to you, examine the weapon, I guess?
Well, seize the weapon.
Okay, they can't seize the weapon.
Yeah, of course, because...
They can see if it's defaced.
Right, they want to make sure... Right, before they... Right, they've got to seize the weapon for safety purposes and then check and then hand it back and say, I'm sorry, I understand you have a license. You have a nice day.
Wow.
But statistically, that's not good.
Right. Now, so you're saying 7,000 out of 8 million.
Yeah. So the chances are... I still think the chances are that if an officer sees someone with a gun, it's more likely than not that the person does not have a license.
So just tell folks, Chuck is saying the bulge is unconcealed. I'm not sure if a bulge is unconcealed.
What is that?
I mean, in other words, if it's covered, the gun is covered.
Yeah, but
if
you see an outline of the weapon, you certainly can seize.
Is that considered concealed or unconcealed if you see the outline of the weapon? But it's not, you can't see the metal, you just see the outline.
It's concealed in the sense that it's covered.
Okay.
But the outline can be seen through the clothing.
So that would give a police officer a right to stop.
Right. Okay. Or bulges in the waistband certainly would give rise to possibly reasonable suspicion.
Okay, so I have 2 minutes left.
Yes.
You know, the reason why I have you on is Mr. Bitter says that you're the best guest here. So talk about this particular case now. What you said, the government is this judge who made this ruling for him to reconsider. Correct?
Yes,
and then what happens if he reconsiders? He says my ruling is the same. What happens then?
Then the government will appeal to the Second Circuit, undoubtedly,
which is the federal court of appeals.
Right, and the Second Circuit will hear the case. And I think whatever the decision of the Second Circuit will be, this case, I think, we'll go to the Supreme Court, because the Supreme Court will realize this case will affect every state in the country, because every state is affected by Bruin. Bruin controls every state now. So licensing is going to be an issue in every state. So this issue is a national issue.
So if the, again, this is like a little how the sausage is made, but if the Second Circuit rules in a way that the Supreme Court of the United States agrees with, and they don't think they need to fix it, can they just leave it the way it is?
Well, the Supreme Court's never heard this issue.
No, but they have to. What they get the certiorari, right? So they get what the issue is, and they may look at it and say,
"Oh, they could not."
They could just say, "Hey, we got the Second Circuit got it right." I think they need 4 out of the 9.
Right, that's true. Right, they could deny cert on the as you say, because they think that the Second Circuit got it right. But I think it's such an important issue. Sometimes they take cases because it has national significance, which this issue does.
All right. That's Judge Barry Kamens, the man when you walk around the courts of the state of New York. People genuflect. For those of my Jewish brethren don't know what that means. It means you eat some matzah on Passover. All right. I appreciate you coming on there, Judge Kamens. This is obviously an issue that affects all of New Yorkers. We're going to take a quick break here. We went a little long, but, you know, that's Judge Barry Kamens. You got to give him as much time as he needs to teach. The way John Madden taught American football, Judge Barry Kamens is teaching America the law. Don't go away. We'll be right back. It's Arthur Idala on the Power Hour.
Peace, brother. Uh-oh. Here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Everybody know that he's
judge. Wellness Wednesday with your favorite Fox News medical all-stars and other experts on how to keep you well. That's tonight at 7 on AM 970, The Answer.
Make sure to tune in this and every Saturday at noon to hear the lead guy, Nick DeMauro, Executive Director and CEO of LEAD, Law Enforcement Against Drugs and Violence, speak with experts, educators, and law enforcement about important issues affecting you and your children. Catch the new show, Battling Drugs and Violence, with the lead guy on AM 970 The Answer. For topical information and insights from experts waging the battle against drugs and violence in your community.
You got to go to Michael's in Brooklyn for the greatest Italian meal I think that you will ever have. All the food, the cuisine, I could say call it cuisine because it is really far and away a spectacular Italian restaurant. Michael's in Brooklyn is 718-998-7851, all made from scratch. The sauce is made right there at Avenue R in Nostrand in Brooklyn, New York. You can go to michaelsofbrooklyn.com. You can join the Sauce of the Month Club. You can get the gnocchi there. It's spectacular. They make it from scratch, and not to mention the pastas. Arrabbiata sauce, the puttanesca sauce, the marinara sauce. You got to go to Michael's of Brooklyn. And then if you see it in your supermarket, and you will around the country, you pick up Michael's of Brooklyn, you're not going to believe how good it is. Michael's of Brooklyn, Avenue R in Nostrand in Brooklyn, New York. Call 718-998-7851. 718-998-7851. Michael's of Brooklyn, serving that community since 1964.
All right, let's talk about our favorite college, Plaza College. If you listen to this show regularly, like so many people, you know, someone came over to me at the auto show today, this woman, and she's like, "Oh my God, Arthur, can I take a picture with you? My husband listens to you every night." I'm like, is he really listening for me, or is he listening for Joni Pelzer? No, I think it's for both of us. We're all a team. Well, I have some exciting news for you. The New York State Uniform Court System, of which Judge Kamens used to be a very big part, recently held a press conference and declared court reporting as the best career you've never heard of, because they have just created a position designed specifically for brand new court reporters. The court reporting trainee position allows new court reporters to enter the court system, making an annual salary upwards of $75,000 with an additional $4,600 in location pay if you live in New York City or Nassau or Suffolk counties. to qualify for the position, you don't need any working experience as a court reporter. You just have to graduate from an approved court reporting institution like Plaza College and write at 225 words per minute. If you're not sure if court reporting is right for you, well, Plaza College is giving you a way to figure that out. You can test drive their program through Plaza's free virtual A to Z program. For more information, email info at plazacollege.edu. That's info at plaza, P-L-A-Z-A, college.edu.
Macy's VIP sale is here. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest spring looks from top designer brands. Plus, get 15% off go-to beauty, skincare, and fragrances. Macy's Star Rewards members earn on every purchase, except gift cards, services, and fees. More at Macy's.com/Star Rewards. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money, so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's corporate cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp. Just go to ramp.com/easy. Ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, a Pfizer vaccine.
So am I, because I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine. It can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Listen to us online at am970theanswer.com. Tune in, iHeart, Alexa, or Odyssey.com.
All right, let's get back to talking about Bay Ridge Honda. You know, I know Rob Sabat and the Sabat family virtually my whole life. As I mentioned, I walked in there, I think I was 12. Yeah, I was 12 because it was 1980. And I don't, even though I was born in 67, I don't turn 13 until December. And, you know, I remember being in there because it was like the first time, like my dad had just bought, my dad must have done really well that year because the year before that he bought a car and then he was buying my grandfather a car. My grandfather used to drive Peugeots. Does anyone remember what Peugeots were? French car, great car. They were million mile engine cars. Now they, so it was time to get a Honda. We had that Honda for 25 years. Fast forward. Four or five years after that, I guess it was 4 years of that, 1984, it was time for me to learn how to drive. Who taught me how to drive? My buddy Joe Hassan, who I lost on 9/11. He, because his family was so close with the Sabah family, the deal was by Mr. Hassan, if Joe got over 1,300 on the SAT, he would get a car. I think Joe got a 1,310. So he got over the threshold, and he got a blue Honda Prelude, a 1984 Honda Prelude with a 1.8 liter engine, with a manual transmission, and that's what I learned how to drive on. Hondas have been around and around the family for forever, and the reason why it's been around for 60 years is The Sabah family that owns and runs Bay Ridge Honda makes you feel like you're part of their family when you come in to make usually the second largest purchase in your life if you own a home. And if you rent a home, it's the largest purchase in your life. So why do you want to go to Bay Ridge Honda now? Well, besides, they have all these brand new cars. Believe me, you're going to hear about it in a minute because I was at the auto show. There's the all new Honda Civic, the Honda HR-V, CR-V, the Accord, and the Passport. The Passport is their truck. Then they also have the Honda Odyssey, which I just saw, and I love it. I call it the Swiss Army knife of vehicles. To kick off spring, Bay Ridge Honda is offering $0 deals all month long, zero down deals. APR rates at 1.9%, no payments until summer of 2024. Every new vehicle comes with their Bay Ridge Plus package for all of your service maintenance needs. So visit Bay Ridge Honda. Go in person. It's Easter weekend. Go check it out. 4th Avenue and 88th Street in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, or online at BayRidgeHonda.com.
Kevin McCullough is next on AM 970, The Answer.
We're back to the Arthur Idala Power Hour with New York City's preeminent trial attorney and quintessential New Yorker, attorney Arthur Idala.
Well, it's almost like Alex Garrett is reading my mind. Because I just talked about the Bay Ridge Honda, and I talked about I learned how to drive on a 1984 Honda Prelude. Well, I just picked up for a song a 1987 Honda Prelude, just for nostalgic purposes. It was not very expensive. Well, the song that just played, Where the Streets Have No Name, is a song that U2 performed in 1987, the same year this Honda is, that I'm supposedly picking up this weekend. U2 performed from the roof of a liquor store in downtown Los Angeles to make the video for Where the Streets Have No Name, attracting thousands of spectators and bringing traffic to a standstill. The police eventually stopped the shoot. There you go. They're in big trouble. It's funny because at Jerry Foley's memorial on Friday, they were talking about all the stunts that they would do at David Letterman's show on Outside on the Street and how they didn't have the right permits. They were getting yelled at by the cops and all this, and Jerry Foley's job was to deal with it all, and how he did so cool, calm, and collected. I need to take advantage of the people in the room right now because I have Joan Pelzer with me, and look, Alex is on his game the last 2 days. Is everything okay, Fabi? Okay. And I have Matt Sambolino here. What's up? You good?
Nice to see how the sausage is made.
Yeah. You're right here. He's usually down at the studio working the board. So let me just tell you what's coming up the next couple of days. Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and Monday. We just recorded a bunch of shows for them because we were at the auto show. Now, I'm going to do live segments in the beginning of some of these shows. So we'll catch up on the news of the day, and then we're going to do some of the pre-record that we just did. Look, I'm being a little selfish. I know a lot of you guys listen, and you want to hear the news of the day. You want to hear the law like we just heard with Judge Kamens, or politics like we heard with James Rosen, or what's going on in the streets with Steve Cuozzo or Cuizzo or Harvey Jones.
Cuozzo.
Right, that one. or the transit with Kemper, Thursday right. With Kemper. But we're going to do a little bit about what's going on in the world of cars. So I apologize to those of you who like, you know, because some people are like, yeah, I like everything. I'm not too big into the car thing. But look, automobiles are a way of life. Joan, what happened with the MTA today regarding cars?
Congestion pricing was apparently approved, $15.
So we may be using less cars, more cars. That's but crazy. While I have this moment, Sambolino, you know, we walked around. Today was media day. We walked around like big shots. Thanks to Lauren Fix. Thanks to Lauren Fix. Thanks
she
to Lauren
great.
Fix.
You were great.
No, she was great. She opened all the doors for us, and we spoke to so many dealerships, and we spoke to the head honchos. It was very special. I've been going there since, I don't know, I was 9, 10, 11. My dad's been bringing me there. And it didn't used to be there. It used to be in Columbus Circle, where we were actually today with the New York Athletic show, the New York Athletic Club, where Mariano Rivera spoke. And then it moved to the Javits Center. So I've been going to the auto show before there was a Javits Center. But Sambolino, tell me what your thoughts were about today.
It was nice to walk around with it not being open to the public yet because it was media day, so it was very limited crowds, which was cool. But I see a lot of electric vehicles. I mean, that's the big thing. I don't know if I'll ever personally buy one, but I see a lot of electric vehicles.
Okay, real quick. Yeah. Where you live, do you have a driveway?
No.
Right. So what do you got to do? In other words,
I drive around looking for parking. And
if you had an electric vehicle, how are you plugging it in?
I can't plug it to a tree.
Right.
You know, so exactly.
And I think one of the interviewers said, you know, people are still skittish about it. And look, you got to give Lauren Fix credit. Since day one when she was on the show, which I think she may have been on the show day one, if not, it was day two. She said, I think hybrids are the way people are going to go.
She has said that every single time.
Well, because people feel more comfortable. Because hybrid is you put gasoline in and there's an electric engine. Right. So you're getting the best of both worlds. You don't have to worry about the car. You know, I'm running out of juice.
I'd probably do a hybrid before I do an electric. But, you know, with the way the laws are passing now, we may all be electric. Because that'll be the only ones out there to be available to buy.
Well, we could talk about that with who's going to be the next president of the United States. This just popped up earlier today. President Biden is jetting into New York on Thursday, so hello.
Uh-oh.
And you know where he's going to be? Diagonally across the street, basically.
Is he going to the funeral?
No. Trump is going to the funeral.
That's what I heard.
Trump's going to the funeral.
And, you know, to Towers is going to pay off the mortgage,
yes,
which is beautiful.
That's fantastic. Biden is not going to the funeral, and he is going to a star-studded campaign fundraiser at Radio City Music Hall featuring a raft of celebrity performers and former presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama. Pop superstar Lizzo, jazz rap goddess Queen Latifah, and Broadway's Ben Platt will perform, and the three Democrat powerhouses will sit for a conversation moderated by late-night funny man Steve Colbert.
Okay.
First Lady Jill Biden will kick off the gala event, and some donors will get legendary photographer Annie Leibovitz to snap their picture with the three presidents. I want to see how much this thing is going to cost. Let's see. The Democratic National Committee reported having nearly $100 million in the bank at the end of February, more than double the GOP war chest. The thing is, the GOP has Trump, and to be honest, Trump just gets so much what's called organic media that he doesn't need the kind of money to buy ads the way anyone else does. I thought it was very interesting. When did I have James Rosen on? Last night?
Last night.
It was very interesting because I was saying, you know, a police officer gets killed, a person, poor civilian standing on the subway gets pushed in front.
And that was like it was planned. Somebody, a witness, said that they watched it without realizing it was going to happen, and he actually used all his force. He was mentally deranged.
Very scary.
Is insane.
And I asked James Rosen, I said, why wouldn't someone like Senator Gildebrand, who's running for re-election, she's representing New York, why wouldn't she say, today I am putting forth a bill to raise to ask the government to give over $500 million to the city of New York's earmarked for more cops, more NYPD. And what James Rosen said immediately was the Democratic Party has aligned themselves to be the not law and order party. They don't want to be affiliated with law and order, especially if they're in some sort of a primary, which, although he's right, that did not hold true in the last mayoral election, right? I mean, they basically, in the Democratic primary, Eric Adams, the former police officer of 22 years, I believe, was elected in the Democratic primary. I was corrected, I think, a couple of times by Mr. Bitter.
what did you say wrong?
Well, he made me acknowledge that the Congress is run by the Republicans. So the New York State the senators here in New York would never get something like that put through. But I just said, even if that's the case, I said, just the gesture of her saying, you know, this is something we should look at, this is something we should consider. Arthur, the POTUS nor majority or minority leader can just write a check. The House is GOP-controlled and they need 60 votes in the Senate. Neither will happen to send money to New York. That's from Mr. Bitter. He also wrote, stop calling it bail reform. The 2019 laws went well beyond just bail. Criminal justice reform. The fact that 50% of the cases 30-30 out is a major part. That means speedy trial out. Part of all of this, too. And he's right. I mean, and now, you were telling me, Joan, about Hastie, the head of the Assembly.
Yep.
Or is he the head of the Senate? I mix that up all the time.
I just had that up. Let me look.
How they want to raise the punishment for retail theft.
Yes, they
and
do.
And he said,
and Katz
absolutely.
Is the only one doing anything about retail
John
theft,
John Katzmatidis
isn't he?
Is, you know,
who we just listened to. He's got something going on. Yep.
And they said, no, we're not doing that. We're not changing any of the penalties. look, I don't know what everyone's waiting for. I mean, you got cops being killed. You got civilians being killed.
Cops being killed and assaulted.
And
not just being killed, but being punched.
Oh, you guys weren't there. Mariano Rivera went crazy.
I mean,
he went crazy.
I'm telling you,
we cannot allow police officers to be assaulted in Times Square. He said, when we were kids, you wouldn't even think about that. Right. Mariano Rivera, they asked him, would he run for office? And although he said no, then he got into being very political, appropriately so. He was also, by the way, asked, is he planning on leaving the city in any way, shape, or form?
And
he said, absolutely not. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. And I want to read you the quote from Hastie.
You got 2 minutes. Hastie is the Senate or Assembly?
Hastie is Assembly. Assembly Speaker.
Assembly, okay, thank you.
I just don't believe raising penalties is ever a deterrent on crime.
Well, it may not be a deterrent on crime, on someone who's going to commit the crime, but if someone who committed the crime winds up doing more time in jail, well, that's a deterrent. It's an elimination. If a guy's going to do 6 months, okay, and 6 months out he's robbing someone as opposed to a year, well, at least you got a year without this guy coming in and robbing your stores. So tomorrow night we'll be a little live in the beginning, and then we're going to talk about the auto show, same with Friday, same with Monday. Some with Sunday, we're going to be rebroadcasting. I don't even know.
And
if
it's the 124th anniversary of the auto show, and it's a huge, huge event for New York City. So
yeah, we're going to talk about it though tomorrow because all the German brands didn't show up. BMW, Mercedes, and Audi aren't there.
Boycotting New York? What's going on here?
I don't know. All right, folks, I had a lot of fun with you tonight. We'll be back tomorrow, live and local, on the Arthur Idala Power Hour.
The Arthur Idala Power Hour is sponsored by Idala Bertuna and Kamins PC.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.